This is Alan Karpik with our Saturday conversation with Tom Dienhart, favorite time of the week, so to speak, and always fun to have Tom on during this chat about our some of our memories of Purdue sports over the years. And today we are going to talk about our five most surprising moments. And I know I've missed probably a few in there, but I've picked five, and I know you have as well. But I want to thank our sponsors. And that's Follett's and Purdue Federal Credit Union. Also, East End Grill now has resumed carryout here in Lafayette. First Source Bank, Home Field Apparel. We'll be working on some new products with Home Field Apparel, some new golden black shirts, actually, which we're looking forward to getting done. And the Dive, also is a 6th Street Dive here in Lafayette, doing carryout as well. Charters Team Remax Ability Plus, Kyle Charters and the group. Obviously, Kyle, former Golden Black colleague, and host our Friday, or excuse me, our Monday podcast on Golden Black Radio. All right, Tom, I'm going to let you fire the first salvo. I don't know if I can rank these, but I tried to come up with just five, and it was, you know, that's hard to do because I know I've already missed probably 20. But I'll let you take the first shot at your first most surprising moment in Purdue sports that you've watched.
Yeah, your mind races. You think of one, and you think of another, Alan. You're right. It's hard to be comprehensive here, but we do the best we can. And fortunately for Purdue fans, there's been many memorable moments over the years, certainly in our lifetime. But, Alan, I guess I always have to start with Michigan State, 1997, West Lafayette. I mean, for me, that's still my all-time favorite Purdue game, my all-time favorite moment, Alan. Of course, quick scene setter, Purdue's trailing 21-10 with 2 minutes and 13 seconds to go. Season maybe is not slipping away, but they're struggling at that point. They lost at least a game or two in a row. And Michigan State lines up for that field goal they really didn't need, Alan. And what happens? Leo Perez from Chicago bursts through the Spartan line, blocks the kick. I believe it was Chris Gardner. In comes Broad Ripple's own Roosevelt Colvin, number 59, scoops up the block kick and rambles 62 yards for a touchdown. And that set the momentum forward for Purdue to end up closing out at just an improbable win, I think. One of the craziest victories ever, I think, in Purdue history. Epitomized, as we've talked about many times, in 1997 season. That defied logic and expectations and was thrilling. And I think Tillery said, like you noted, every Saturday was like Christmas. So for me, that Colvin scoop and score against Michigan State in 97 was just an electric moment for me and my favorite.
Yeah, I think that I think you're on to something there, and I'm going to pick one from the same game, or same year, I should say. And a moment in time, and that was also Roosevelt Colvin, a strip of Ron Paulus with about 7-8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. Purdue leading Notre Dame 14-10, and the Irish kind of driving, or at least getting to midfield, and Purdue fans very, very nervous. And then he gets the chance to strip the ball, and who gets the ball and runs it down the sideline, 43 yards, but you know who that answer is. It's a guy, the situation, I'm drawing a complete blank.
It was Adrian Beasley.
Adrian Beasley. Oh, God. It's Saturday, and I'm asleep, apparently. But Adrian Beasley, number 7, runs down the sideline, 43 yards for the touchdown. And it turned that game on its head, put Purdue ahead 21-10. Purdue ends up winning that game 28-17. But I will give a 1B here. I'm already cheating on this one because one of my favorite and surprising moments in that same game, Purdue leading after Audrey Denson scores to make that score 21-17. Notre Dame tries an onside kick. Purdue recovers it, and they're at midfield, and it's 2nd and 8. And everybody's thinking pass, and Purdue probably needs a first down to run out the clock. And what does Joe Tiller do? He throws a screen pass to Vinny Sutherland. In my mind's eye, that's on the left sideline or the east sideline, but I guessed it was on the west sideline. And and Sutherland runs all the way down to the 2-yard line and produced scores one more time. But that was the get used to winning idea. You know, we're not going to sit there and let Notre Dame stop us and give them the ball back. Purdue used the bubble screen pass, and Sutherland goes down to the center. Had a huge game as a true freshman against the Irish, as so many Boilermakers did in that win in 1997. So I'm already cheating, but that's I had to throw that in there because that really is one of my favorite and surprising plays, because you just didn't think they were going to try to throw anything, take any risk at all, and they did it, and it worked.
And then too, of course, they opened with a loss at Toledo, so everything that happened that Saturday was crazy.
Oh, absolutely crazy. Yeah, no question.
But for me now, I'm going to go a little hoops for you. This is a game, maybe it's on your list. I'm sure it's near and dear to your heart. I remember sitting in the stands and being thrilled. January 13th, 1979, Alan.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one. Not on my list, and I don't know why it's not, but I'm glad you picked that.
Yeah,
absolutely should be on the list. But go ahead, Tom.
The only shot Arne at home, and I believe hit all game against the number one ranked Michigan State Spartans, of course led by a kid named Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
And Holman hit the last second shot to give Purdue a 52-50 victory again over the number one Spartans led by Judd Heathcote. That was, of course, a Spartan team that would go on to win the national title in the famous Bird Magic title game out in Salt Lake City that year. And that was a Purdue team, as you know, Alan, I believe they tied for the Big Ten championship. I think it was a 3-way tie, and they got to the NIT title game, where, of course, they lost to Indiana, but still aren't at home and hitting that shot against the number one team in the country, led by one of the most iconic players in college basketball. Basketball history, period, is one that certainly resonates with me.
And that's an absolute pick, and I've already now made my first mistake, because that was a great moment. It was so shocking because, you're right, Arnett Hallman, Terry Donnelly's Michigan State guard trying to run out on him. It was a play that Purdue kind of didn't get what it wanted. They tossed it out to Hallman, and Hallman was never, ever shy about shooting the basketball. He used to drive Lee Rose a little bit crazy just because he liked to shoot it so much. But there he is. He nails what would have been a three-pointer. Didn't meet it. It was only a two-pointer. And the great story about that is it was so shocking. And when Hallman, after he hits a shot, he just kind of stands there and poses. And then the place goes nuts. And one of the best things I can remember, because I was a freshman that year as a basketball manager, is that we go into the locker room after the game, and the whole place is nuts, going crazy. And they didn't want to leave, and Lee Rose had something that's never been done before or maybe since. So I think they did it one more time that year. He had a curtain call with his basketball team, and all of a sudden Rose leads the team back on the court. They do a circle of the Mackey Arena court, or what was going to be named Katie Court later days. And the place just went nuts. And Judd Heathcote always had a sense of humor, as you know. He kind of made some fun of Purdue doing that whole thing. And he kind of returned the favor the following year, because he brought Magic Johnson in to a game when Magic's first year in the NBA, to a game in Jenison Fieldhouse that Purdue won. And he told Lee, he goes, "This is going to be a payback. We're going to announce him right in the middle of the game," so that the whole place kind of stopped and stood. So great memory there, but you absolutely nailed that one. That one's one that should have been on my list. But I'll go back to one that was also, and this probably really shouldn't qualify as a shocker, but it was a shocking, surprising moment. And that was Glenn Robinson's game winner against Michigan in 1994 in Ann Arbor. And Purdue trails that game by 9 points with 2.5 minutes to go, 7 points with 70 seconds to go or so. Jalen Rose, for some reason that we still don't know, throws the ball out of bounds, gives Purdue the possession. Purdue gets the ball out of bounds on the side, I believe. They threw it basically into Glenn. And he takes two dribbles and about four steps, but he scores and hits the game winner. Purdue wins that game wins. It was a huge game for them going on to win the Big Ten. It put them in a tie with Michigan for the Big Ten lead. Of course, the Wolverines ended up losing the following week to Northwestern, and Purdue won out and won the Big Ten, the first of three consecutive undisputed championships. But that was, it probably was, shouldn't have been as surprising, but it was just, that game was, you were done for if you were a Purdue fan. And Robinson, as only Glenn Robinson could do, made a play like that. And, you know, all the, based on all the Nojel Eastern and Juwan Howard now, that wasn't on our list, but that should be in terms of shocking moments. Juwan Howard was on the court. He was shocked then. Well, maybe they shocked Purdue a little bit yesterday by snagging Nojel Eastern. But I'm digressing. Go ahead. You're up next.
Yeah, maybe, you know, I led off with the 1997 Coleman scoop and score versus Michigan State. Allen, this play right here may be the greatest, though, in the history of Purdue football. 2000 Michigan State, Breeze to Morales. I'll never forget, I was lucky to be there that day in the press box, and everybody is probably listening to this has watched this game 100 times on replay. Or at least the specific play, but when all hope looked like it was lost for the Boilermakers, the Rose Bowl dreams dashed. Breeze, I think Allen had thrown, I want to say, four interceptions, a real critical right. one late to look like to sink Purdue's ship. But, of course, late in that game, he finds, I think he was Seth Morales, of course, the walk-on from Butler from Indianapolis, the diminutive wide receiver, probably runs a 4.940, 5 foot nothing tall, and I think he was, I think, Allen, maybe the, you would know this, third or fourth option right. on that pass play, and Breeze had enough time to find Morales downfield. I don't know, it was a 50-yard some-odd pass. I shouldn't know, but I don't know the 60, distance.
64, I think it was.
64-yard touchdown pass.
But in the pass, probably carried 45 yards. I mean, he catches
oh, yeah.
it. Yeah.
Perfect strike, hit Morales in stride. And, of course, he jets into the end zone, lifts an arm, and Purdue knocks off Ohio State. And the signature win and the signature season the last 45, 50 years of Purdue football, and one of the, maybe the greatest play and the greatest game in Ross State Stadium history.
Yeah, I'm amazed because that actually wasn't on my list. I obviously not initially, and it absolutely belongs. Yeah, one of the great plays in a play. I always tell the story of, at least as you know, media in those that time, you used to be able to come down to the field with 5 minutes left in the game, and I remember looking up. I was walking down the south, it would be the southwest corner ramp to get to the field, thinking Purdue was sunk. You know, they're on their 36-yard line, and Ohio State had just scored. And looking over my shoulder, not seeing the play, hearing the crowd, but looking over my shoulder to the Jumbotron and watching Seth Morales run free. You could hear kind of an audible gasp with the people realized he was open, and he ran right at me. That was an amazing moment. And you're right, you're not going to find a greater moment in the history of Purdue sports, really, than that one. That was unbelievable. All right, I'm going to go back to a game that might be on your list, but a different play, so to speak, and that was also Purdue Ohio State, but 2018. And
sure.
Everybody talks about Rondale Moore and the unbelievable spin to win move that on his touchdown, and that in the fourth quarter when Purdue had that onslaught to blow out Ohio State. I'm going to pick a different one, and that is Marcus Bailey's pick six at the end of that game. And I don't know how many yards, I should have looked it up before, but probably about 50 yards for a touchdown. And just the realization that, my gosh, Purdue is going to win this game. And it was over at that point, but you never knew exactly if the Buckeyes could get back into the game, I guess. But Marcus Bailey, against his hometown team, the team that didn't recruit him, and the way that the Ross-Ade Stadium crowd, and I think I remember them panning to Tyler Trent at that moment, was over the top. And that was truly one of my most memorable moments of watching Purdue football. That game certainly qualifies, but that moment, maybe not as quite as big as Rondale Moore's big play earlier in that quarter, but still one that really, really resonates with me.
Yeah, no doubt. What a special Saturday that was just a couple years ago. Purdue has had a knack for making life miserable for the Buckeyes, haven't they here?
Yeah, no
You know,
question.
Alan, I'm going to go. This is one that I've watched personally maybe 1,000 times on YouTube. I'm sure you have and others, but South Bend, Indiana, 2004. Purdue, as you
Great
know,
one.
had not won in South Bend since 1974, right? And some close victories under close losses under Breeze. And here we are, and Purdue finally gets over the hump in the signature play in that game. The 97-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Orton to Taylor Stubblefield, of course. You can still see the image if you close your eyes of Stubblefield breaking free with the ball and pumping his fist in the air as he's finishing the sprint down, the iconic field at Notre Dame and scoring that touchdown. Again, helping Purdue knock off the hated Fighting Irish for the first time under the Golden Dome, like I said, in what, 20 years at that point, 30 years at that point. And just a fun moment and one of the greatest plays I think Purdue's seen football-wise, again, the last 40 or 50 years. Hope I'm not overstating things, but
No,
again,
I think you're
that play
right.
by Stubblefield was unreal. A play of that distance in that venue against that opponent was just incredible.
97 yards was it,
Yep.
and he gets penalized for doing the. And I think for Purdue fans, it's a YouTube favorite. If you're ever down and
Yeah.
you're a Purdue fan, you can just dial it right up and watch it. And Taylor Stubblefield doing kind of the boiler up on the way, on really for about the last 40 yards. I mean, he was so he had gotten past. I'm not sure who the Notre Dame defender was, but gotten past him early on. And Orton looked at him. He kind of. I don't know that they had a signal or whatever, but Orton looked down the side and looked right at him. And they realized this was a play that they were going to go. He audibled right to that unbelievable play. And that, I agree with you, is a moment that if you're a Purdue fan, sends chills up or down your spine. Unbelievable. Now, it's amazing. We did not practice this at all. And yet, and we have not had any of the same. And yet, this is a perfect segue to my pick, which you were about 9 years old at this time, or 8 years old, I suppose. But 1974, Purdue Notre Dame, the last time you addressed it well, that the Purdue had won in South Bend was 1974. The Irish were the defending national champions. They had their quarterback Tom Clements back, and the first quarter of that game, I think maybe at the end of the first quarter is the moment I'm talking about. But Purdue led Notre Dame 24-0 at the end of the first quarter. Scores 24 unanswered points. They use a Pete Gross 51-yard run off tackle. Pete Gross couldn't run 12 yards without getting tackled. Pete Gross was a decent fullback, but he was not a speed guy. He ran 51 yards for the touchdown. Bob Manila, a name that you, number 59. He was before. These are all these tie-ins because Roosevelt Colvin, obviously number 59 as well. Bob Manila. Had a pick six in that game. Just a ball that Clements threw out in the flat. And Manila jumps the route and gets the job done. An amazing. I just remember that it was the kicker Steve Schmidt ends the quarter with a 47-yard field goal, I believe, and I may be wrong on that. But my point is that moment of thinking, oh my God, they're ahead 24-0 at the end. And when I was listening to the game on radio at that time with Henry Rosenthal, because those games were not on TV. They were on Notre Dame's TV, but they'd black it out down here in West Lafayette. And oh my God, they're ahead 24-0. The great Mike Terizzi, Purdue's quarterback, got replaced in that game by Mark Vitale, and Purdue hung on to win that game 31-20. And one of the great upsets, Alex Agassiz had two big upsets in his career, but I'm not going to say who the second was in case that one's on your list. But Purdue Notre Dame game in late September 1974 makes my list.
Yeah, that, like I said, defending national champs. I think Jerry DiNardo was on that 73 Notre Dame team. But
yep.
Yeah, wins in South Bend have been few and far between the last, 50 years or so for Purdue. So, yeah, very, very special moment, the beginning there in 1974 up there under the dome. Alan, I've had 3 football, 1 basketball at this point, so I'm going to give you another hoop moment, okay? I was lucky enough to be in this venue, Thompson Bowling Arena, Knoxville, Tennessee, March 1994, Purdue-KU in the Sweet 16 game. And who can forget another YouTube glorious moment for Purdue fans, the Glenn Robinson stuff and the stare down at Greg Ostertag, or Osterstiff, as a lot of people like to playfully call Greg Ostertag, the 7-foot Jayhawk center. That play right there summed up Purdue in that big moment against Kansas, a college basketball blue blood, Alan. The Boilers would go on to knock off Kansas, of course. Robinson, 44 points. Konzo Martin, 29 points. But again, the Robinson dunk in the face of Ostertag and the subsequent, stare down of him, what was iconic, of course, got Purdue to the Elite Eight. And those trips, as you know, Alan, have been few and far between. So big, fun moment for Purdue fans, featuring one of the greatest players in school history to get Purdue to an Elite Eight. Just a special moment for me, that Robinson dunk against Kansas.
Yeah, I think it's a great call and obviously an iconic play in the history of Purdue sports. I would say that one of the plays in that game that I considered for my list was Konzo Martin in the second half. Now, I think the dunk on Ostertag was in the first half, and it ended the half, as I recall, pretty much. But the Konzo Martin, a four-point play. He'd hit a three in the left corner. Purdue never got a ton of distance between itself and Kansas in that game. But Martin hits one, almost falling into the bench, makes a four-point play. Like you said, 29 points, I think 19 in the second half, was one of the great performances. But I like your pick there. Now, I don't mean to make this one a downer, but one of my moments, and it was a great moment that didn't end the way we wanted to, but the moment, two moments, and I'm going to change mine slightly. I was going to go with the Virginia moment where we knew Purdue, it was all of a sudden with a minute left, Carson Edwards hits three after three after three and puts Purdue in a position to win. Ryan Klein, that moment that Ryan Klein's at the free throw line, or either that or Grady Eifert gets the rebound, that would be on my list had Purdue been able to prevail in that game. So I'm going to move it back a game, and I'm going to call Ryan Klein's step back three against Tennessee. In the second half, he had was Konzo Martin-esque. Or maybe Konzo Martin was Ryan Klein-esque. I don't know, but unbelievable second half against and made shot after made shot from both teams. But his step back three in about the last 90 seconds of the game, when Purdue was dead in the water, or looked not dead in the water, but really in serious trouble, he makes that three. That I think is my moment. But I'm cheating all over the place. I also think one of the surprising moments was when they called the foul in the corner on Carson Edwards. It was surprising only because I just didn't think I think it was the right call, but I didn't think he'd get that call. And of course, Carson Edwards hits two out of the three free throws. I think the game goes into overtime. I'll stick with my Ryan Klein step back three. I know I'm cheating all over the place, but really one of the iconic moments in the history of Purdue basketball. And Ryan Klein's second half was one for the ages in terms of how well he played, how well he shot the ball. And it was great because you just saw him having fun. And I think every Purdue fan that has watched Purdue basketball over the years, that was a moment of pure joy for Purdue fans, but also for Ryan Klein. So we need to have our second list, our backup list to this, because there are so many more. But you did a great job. I loved it. I loved your list. I thought it was ours. Were actually complemented each other with an E relatively well.
Yeah, just a couple quick honorable mentions. I would have loved to have gotten Breeze to Isaac Jones, the 98 Alamo Bowl.
Yeah.
That ended up winning. I'll never forget jumping out of my chair watching that game. Against number 4 Kansas State. What a moment. This wasn't a great Purdue team, but it's always fun if you can make life miserable for Indiana. I always loved the 1989 bucket game, when not only did Purdue beat Indiana to kill their Bulls, but they probably cost Anthony Thompson the Heisman Trophy as well. You want to talk about an improbable win? I think Purdue was at least a 14-point underdog in that game. nothing on the line. A horrible Purdue team under Fred Akers, and one of the better, of course, eras for IU football. And they can't beat the lowly Boilermakers and cost themselves a bowl. And again, maybe the Heisman Trophy for Anthony Thompson. And I had the 1981 Steve Bryant catch against Notre Dame, a 2-point conversion catch, and then I love the 1983 Owinski bank shot at Illinois.
That, oh yeah, that should have been on there. Okay.
Big muscle head hits the jumper, an 18-0 run to steal the win. One of the biggest comebacks in Big Ten history over in Champaign. That ride back home on I-74 had to be fun that day.
Yeah. Those are all could have easily been on the list. My last one was Rod Woodson. His interception against Ohio State and 55-yard touchdown return, and just the way that the Ross-Ade Stadium erupted, and again, a huge upset over, I think, number 2 Ohio State. Purdue and Leon Burnett's third season at the helm, but there wasn't anybody quite like Rod Woodson. And we've even left out some of the great moments of Leroy Keyes, Mike Phipps, Leroy Keyes in the gloaming of Ross-Ade Stadium, 1968, the 75-yard pass, meaning the ball that literally traveled. Phipps on a bad ankle rolls to his right, flings it in literally it's almost dusk. And those games started at 1:30. It was a late November game, went on long because there was a lot of passing. Keyes gets behind Nate Lundy, I believe it was, the Indiana defender, and hauls in a pass that Lundy just didn't think that Phipps could throw it that far, and Phipps did, and Purdue comes back from a 2-score deficit in the fourth quarter to beat Indiana. So those all could have been on the list. There are many more, but Tom, I really enjoyed this, and as I always do, and we'll put our list B and C down the road as we continue to do this. All right, I want to thank our sponsors again, Follett's and also Purdue Federal Credit Union, First Source Bank, East End Grill, doing carryout in Lafayette, Homefield Apparel for vintage Purdue apparel, a great spot to check out with Connor Hitchcock and their group, The Dive, the 6th Street Dive, still doing carryout, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. We also want to thank our friends that have been sponsors that are doing carryout in the Lafayette area, and of course that being Whitaker Inn, and they have done a great job. Elizabeth Whitaker and Andrew Whitaker of opening that and having great food down there. Obviously, Arnie's and Bruno's in Lafayette, and Arnie's in Indianapolis. You can join in Smee's Place, north side of Indianapolis too, if you need some carry out during this pandemic. Great food, great options, all those places. Tom, have a great week. Thanks so much, and I think this is one of my favorite shows already. So I appreciate it very much.
Will do, buddy.